Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Thank you. Thank you. What a welcome. What a welcome. You guys are so welcome to Lagan Valley Vineyard. My name is Hannah, if we haven't met before, and it is my pleasure to be sharing with you guys this afternoon. And if you're new with us, over the last wee while, we've been journeying through a new series called Walking with God. And we've been looking at what does it mean to walk with God in every aspect of our lives? What does it mean and what happens whenever we start to do that? And this morning, I am up here sharing with you on what does it mean to hear from God? Being able to listen, it is one of the most important things in any relationship. The other day, I was going through my talk with James, who's my husband, and I was going over my talk, and whilst I was speaking, I was looking at him, and I noticed he was looking at me, but it was almost as if he was looking through me. And I kind of turned around to see if there was anything behind me, and lo and behold, there was the Rangers versus Frankfurt on the TV, and he had the volume muted. Absolute rascal. In any relationship, listening properly is so important, isn't it, James? And so often, the problem that we have when it comes to hearing from God is that we aren't aware our relationship is meant to function in the same way that it does with other people. And if we're honest, he's somewhere that we go whenever we need help with something or we need to hear something, but we don't expect to necessarily have any form of conversation back and forth with him. And as we learn to walk with God in our everyday, what I want us to look at this morning or this afternoon is how do we move our relationship from a monologue to God to a dialogue with God? How do we learn to engage with him that is relational rather than just transactional? And so we're going to start to do this by reading a story from 1 Samuel. So hopefully you have a Bible in front of you. Maybe you have brought one along with you this afternoon. It's page 184, and if not, the text will come up on the screen behind me. So let us read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Holy Spirit, come. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am," and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." Keep your Bibles open here as we're going to camp out in this passage for a bit. Now, I know straight away the idea of hearing God, it's going to cause two different sets of postures in the room. For some of us, the idea of hearing from God, it's somewhat familiar. We're aware in the Bible there's lots of texts that speak about it. We know throughout the history of the church that God has spoken to his people, and we're aware that in some way God has maybe personally communicated to us in our lives. For others of us, the idea of God speaking, it makes us a bit uncomfortable or wary. We don't think we've heard God before. The idea of him speaking, it sounds maybe a bit subjective, or we're not too sure. And if God could speak, he'd probably be much more likely to speak to someone more holy or who'd been walking with him for a lot longer. And I think that there's actually goodness to be found in both of these postures coming together wherever you find yourself this afternoon. Whenever I started dating James, I remember the first time that we went out in public. We were walking down Bow Street, and I remember just James took my hand, and I just remember having this overwhelming sense of, can everybody see this? Like, I, Hannah then McConnell, am being seen with the James Toll. Like, this is crazy. I couldn't quite get my head around the idea of us being together, and I can't remember who it was that we came across. It was maybe Dan McCready, but I remember seeing Dan McCready and being like, oh my goodness, Dan McCready's seen me with James. Like, everyone's going to know now, the secret's out. Truth be told, I don't even think Dan saw us, nor did he know who James was at the time, so he wouldn't have really cared. But anyway, over time, I slowly got familiar with being seen with James, hanging out with friends together, going out and about, and I didn't think as much about the idea of us being together. But sometimes I do get these moments when I look at him and I think, I, Hannah, now Toll, get to be married to this guy. Aww. Not trying to paint the perfect picture of a marriage here. There's other times I look at him whenever he's watching Frankfurt versus the Rangers, and I feel a whole other host of feelings whenever I look at him. Just kidding. Kind of. When it comes to hearing from God, we need not lose the sense of wonder that it's a pretty weighty statement to say that we heard from God. As we were driving to work reflecting, or we were doing the weekly shop and he interrupted us. But in the same breath, it's so important that we remember that he does. It's a fact. God does speak to us. He's always chosen to speak to his people, and he still does today. And so as we look at how we move our relationship with God from a monologue to a dialogue, we need to take a moment to pay attention to our posture. In the text we just read together, we meet Samuel, who is a young boy who's woken up in the middle of the night, and he runs to Eli, who is an elderly priest that is looking after him. Samuel, he jumps out of bed, runs to Eli, and says, did you call my name? And Eli says, no, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. Samuel does so. Verse 6, same thing happens. Samuel hears a voice, jumps out of bed, runs to Eli. Eli, patience of a saint. Shout out to all of you parents that know about this kind of carry-on. He says, Samuel, go back to bed. You didn't hear anything. And Samuel does so. Verse 8, a third time, Samuel hears a voice and runs to Eli. Now, at this point, Eli, who's been walking with God for many, many years, he clocks that Samuel is hearing a voice and that it's God. And so Eli, he explains this to Samuel, and he tells him how he should respond. And so Samuel goes back to bed, again is woken by a voice, and this time does as Eli told him, and God and Samuel begin to talk to each other. So, what changed? What enabled Samuel to hear God's voice? The text makes it really clear that God didn't do anything different. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. He didn't send a lightning bolt. He didn't kick the door down. He didn't come in and shout, thus saith the Lord. That's not what happened. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus makes this really clear. He says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." God knocks, but we need to open the door. What changed in this story was Samuel's posture. He started to listen. Verse 10, "Speak, for your servant is listening." You see, it's so common for God to be speaking to us, but we miss it because we aren't listening. And I would go as far as to say it's the primary reason that we miss out on what God is saying to us. Like, Samuel received the creme de la creme of God's ways of communicating, an audible voice. Like, the very thing that I ask for, and I'm sure many of us ask for whenever we have to make a big decision or we're in a kind of crisis, and Samuel still didn't recognize it was God. He rationalized it for Eli. And side note on Eli, Eli's really old, like Old Testament old. And so I think it's pretty fair to assume that Eli's voice wasn't the booming Morgan Freeman-esque voice that we tend to associate with God. Isn't it interesting that there was something about God's voice that even Samuel, he didn't know God yet, it felt familiar. God's voice, it sounded like somebody that was close to him. Notice Samuel, he doesn't run into Eli and say, "I'm hearing voices." He runs in and says, "What do you want?" There's something about God's voice that is familiar to us. It's easy to mistake it as someone else. Thinking back, I wonder how many times I've done this, that God's been speaking to me and I've mistaken it as someone else, or I've thought it was a coincidence, or fill in the blank. And one example, it's probably a wee bit silly, but for the life of me, it has never left my mind. For those of you that don't know about me, I am a horse rider, and that's one of my passions. And whenever I was growing up, I used to go to horse riding lessons, and in the middle of winter, it was always Northern Ireland, so it was always raining and really, really cold. And so I had these wee horse riding gloves that I wore, and I remember I was 9 or 10 at the time, and it was like December, and I think I'd already lost about 4 pairs, and I was getting ready to go, and I couldn't find my gloves, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm gonna have to tell mommy lost these again." And I just shot this wee prayer up. I was just like, "God, can you please tell me where the horse riding gloves are?" And I remember just this phrase just dropping into my head, and it said, "They're safe and they're warm." I remember thinking, "Safe, okay, that's good. Warm, don't really know what that means. That's a bit random." But anyway, I went off and started having a wee look for them, and I was in the back kitchen having a wee rummage around, and I remember the dog got up, and I looked down and noticed some horse riding gloves were in the dog's bed, and he'd been sleeping on them. Safe and warm. Now, I know it's a silly story, and for me in that moment, it's very easy to rationalize that I just made that up. Or it was insignificant. Like, why would God bother engaging in a conversation about that? Well, because I was 9, and it was really important to me. Chris talked about this last week. God is relational. God cares about the details in our lives. And although I'm not too sure he cares whether we get that car parking space yet or the upkeep of Chris's hair, but he does care about my horse riding gloves. For those of us today that don't think that God's ever communicated to you, I'd just love to encourage you to take a moment and think. If you're truly honest, are there moments or events in your life that could have been God trying to communicate with you, but you passed it off as something else? So, how do we move our relationship with God from what feels like a monologue to a dialogue? Like Samuel, we need to have a posture of listening. Have God's voice as an option on your rationale checklist. Did I make it up? Was this a coincidence? Is God trying to speak to me? Like whenever you wake up in the middle of the night and you're not sure why you've woken up and you think, that's weird, I'll go back to sleep. We need to be taken on that posture of listening instead, saying, God, was that you that woke me up? Speak, for your servant is listening. Once we begin to have a posture of listening, we then need to learn, how do we distinguish between what is God and what isn't? Like, how do we, like Samuel, discern between the voice of God and of Eli? Remember whenever you were growing up and the house phone would ring? It always just said withheld or it had a number. And you had no idea who you were picking up the phone to. And they knew you because they dialed the number. And they would answer, you would answer and they'd be like, oh, Hannah, how's school? How's horse riding? And unless you knew that person really well, you'd no idea who they were. And at one point, you had to shatter the conversation, not usually at the start, it's usually towards the middle or towards the end, when they say, oh, like, tell your mum I was calling. You're like, sorry, who is this? Or if you were me, you either didn't pick up at all, or had to tell mum when she got home, here, mum, someone called, don't know who it was. We learn to recognize someone's voice by spending time with them, by getting to know them, how they talk, what they talk about. And how do we do this with God? How do we engage with him in a way that is relational so that we learn to recognize his voice? This book. We saturate ourselves in Scripture. See, the Bible is our foundation for familiarizing ourselves with what God's voice sounds like. Through it, we get to know him, what he talks about, and why. Really simply, when it comes to trying to learn how to distinguish between what's God's voice and what isn't, we need to be asking ourselves the question, is it in here? Is it biblical? Not just some obscure Old Testament verse somewhere to back it up, but does it fit with the overarching themes of the Bible? And if it doesn't, then it's time for a rain check. And as we spend time studying and reading the Bible, we find out that we need to have a posture of listening for more than just audible voices in the middle of the night. God also speaks through creation and nature, Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2, through our human intuition and gut feelings, through our conscience, Timothy 1, verse 19, through wisdom, prophecies, words of knowledge. He also speaks through the supernatural, from mysterious happenings, from miracles, angelic visitations, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, dreams and visions. And we unfortunately do not have time to go into this today, but in Numbers 22, verse 8, he speaks through a donkey. Saturating ourselves, it also informs us what God's voice does not sound like. It does not sound impatient or unkind, envious or boastful, prideful or dishonoring. You get where I'm going, Corinthians 13 for further reading. The Bible, it becomes our primary source for distinguishing between what is God's voice and what isn't. And as we saturate ourselves in Scripture, it also helps us to engage with God in a way that is relational and not transactional. A couple of weeks ago, I rang my dad and he answered, "What do you want?" And I felt bad because he knew that I was calling him for something, and so I kind of changed what I was calling him about and was like, just ringing for a wee chat, how are you? And we spent time catching up instead. Now, contrary to what Naomi says, I was actually calling him for garden advice because there was a slug invasion and I needed to sort it out. But I figured I could wait for another day as I wanted to make sure he didn't feel like I was just calling him because I needed something. I think we need to be careful that we don't treat God in the same way when it comes to wanting to hear from him. My goodness, am I guilty for this? And so I want us to slow down, to change gear for a moment and take 5 minutes just to walk through a tool that I found really helpful for engaging and hearing from God because I want to hear his voice and not just because I need something. And it's called Lectio Divina, and some of us will be familiar with it. So I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. It's page 796 in the Black Bibles. Chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. So I'm going to read this scripture twice. And for the first time, I just want you to invite God to be with you and not read it alongside me, but just take a moment. You maybe want to close your eyes just to rest and let me speak the scripture over you. And there's going to be moments of silent reflection, but please don't worry if you've little ones and they start making noise. It's totally fine. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 7. Speak, for your servants are listening. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Let me read that again. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Next, I want to invite you to read the passage for yourself slowly. And I want you to let your awareness rest on each word and keep a posture of listening. Be aware to any word or phrase that catches your attention and don't overthink how strongly you need to be drawn to it. You may just find yourself pausing on it for a moment. So go ahead, read through the passage and be attentive to what stands out to you. Next, I want you to take a moment to meditate on the word or phrase that caught your attention. Is there any emotions that stir this up, and how does this word or phrase make you feel? And the point of this tool is to create an environment that helps us to hear from God as opposed to guaranteeing it. So don't worry if there hasn't been something that stood out to you straight away. Just take a moment, meditate on a word or a phrase, and think about what does that word make you feel, what comes to your mind. Next, I want you to respond. Ask God why this word caught your attention. Did I make it up? Could it be a coincidence? Or is he trying to communicate something? So just take a few moments to inwardly ask God about what you're feeling or hearing, and take a moment to listen. And as we wrap up, just take a final minute to sit with the passage, anything key that stood out, and thank God for what he's speaking to you or what he's speaking to those around us in the room. Thank him for this word and how it is living and that it speaks to us. God, we thank you for your word. Amen. Now, before I start distracting you, I want to encourage you just to take a moment to take out your phone or a notebook and make a note of what stood out. You're maybe still not sure what it means, but I want to encourage you to hold on to that word or phrase and take it with you as you leave this place this morning. Reflect on it. See what it could mean as you go into your week ahead. There'll also be instructions in the 3-2-1 email for how to practice Lectio Divina by yourself through the week. Okay. Recap as we come to a close. How do we move our relationship with God from what feels like a monologue to a dialogue? We need to have a posture of listening. Number two, how do we familiarize ourselves with God's voice and learn to engage with him in a way that is relational and not transactional? We saturate ourselves in scripture. And the third and final thing, how do we learn to trust ourselves that we are hearing from God? Really simple, be obedient. Often, not all the time, but often when we hear from God, there's an action that is required of us, an opportunity to be obedient. And we didn't read this part of the text this afternoon, but when God spoke to Samuel, he gave him a message to pass on to Eli. And in verse 15, it says, Samuel lay down until morning. He was afraid to tell Eli. Samuel had absolutely no problem waking Eli up the other four times. But as soon as God gave him a message, he felt his heart beating in his chest, and he thought, I don't know, I better not disturb him, you know, he's quite old and he's sleeping. We'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, and it still doesn't seem like Samuel plans to deliver the message. It's not until Eli calls him and he's like, "Here, Samuel, what happened last night? What did he end up talking to you about?" Samuel's then obedient and shares what God spoke, and Eli confirms that he heard correctly. How do we learn to trust ourselves that we're hearing from God? Be obedient. Now, it's important to note that the bigger the obedience that is required of us, the bigger the discernment process needs to be. If obedience is sell your house and move to Africa, then it's really wise to have a couple of Elis in your life, people who've been walking with God for a while and are familiar with his voice, to help you to recognize and discern, as well as having people praying for you and seeking guidance. But if obedience is responding to prayer on a Sunday afternoon or inviting your neighbors round for dinner, what's the worst that happens if you get it wrong? If the answer is, "I'll maybe look a wee bit silly," it's worth the risk. Band, why don't you guys jump up? How do we learn to trust ourselves so we're hearing from God? Be obedient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Maybe a word or a phrase stood out to you today. Is there a situation or a person in your life that God is maybe asking you to go above and beyond in displaying these qualities to this week? Or maybe it's for you and you need to stay patient for the thing that God has spoken to you about. You're driving out of here and someone's name randomly drops into your head and you think, why am I thinking about them? Did I make it up? Is it just a coincidence? Or is God trying to communicate with me? Send them a text. Maybe you need to grab a coffee with them and check in and see if everything is all right. What's the worst that happens if you get it wrong? Maybe you're praying for someone and as you're looking at them, you get distracted by a word that pops into your head or a picture. Share it. See if it resonates with them. If it doesn't, that's okay. You practiced obedience. And if it does, that's great. You practice obedience. If you're able, why don't you stand with me as we respond this morning? As we learn to hear from God, we need to have a posture of listening. We need to saturate ourselves in Scripture. And we need to learn to trust ourselves by being obedient. So how do we respond this afternoon? If you want to hear more of God in your life, we would love to pray for you. If you want to practice hearing from God, of being obedient, I want to invite you to come up and to pray for these guys as they come. A member of our community sent me a text this morning. They didn't know what I was speaking on at all. They told me that God woke them up 3 times in the middle of the night, took them until the 3rd time that they were like, "Okay, I'll make a note of this." And they felt like there were some specific things that people would need prayer for this morning, this afternoon. So I just want you to take a moment. As I say these things, if you feel something in your heart that just goes, "Oh, I think that might be me," I want to encourage you in a moment to come up to the front and receive prayer. First thing, they felt that somebody needed prayer for their marriage. Second thing, that somebody has a physical heart problem that they want to experience healing. Third thing, somebody wants to let go of their past, but they're struggling and God wants to help them walk through that process this afternoon. Fourth thing, someone's child isn't well from a long-term condition. And it's really taken a toll on you. Fifth thing, someone wants prayer for their business. gotten sick thing. Somebody needs prayer around pregnancy. And we know that infertility is a really sensitive issue, and we just want you to come up and to receive prayer this morning and to know that God sees you. So I want to invite us to come up now, whether you want to hear more from God in your life, whether you know you need to practice obedience, or if any of those things that I've just read off resonate with you. So why don't you go for it? Come on up, be obedient. I know it's not going to be just one or two. So if you want to just start making your way up, and we're going to worship together and we're going to pray for you guys. Everyone finds it super easy to hear from God then? Don't be shy. For those of us that are coming up to be obedient and pray, Pete Greg has a really, really helpful thing as you're praying, ABC. A is what I'm praying, affirming. B, is it biblical? C, is it Christ-like? So if you're feeling a wee bit wary as you go to share what word has popped into your head, just think of that, ABC. So we're going to move into a space of worship as we pray for these guys. Speak, for your servants are listening. Holy Spirit, come in this place.